It is unusual that we get a chance to talk to airshow performers at AirVenture because they are so doggone busy. But today we have the privilege of speaking with the AeroShell aerobatic team, made up of Steve Gustafson, Mark Henley, Brian Reagan, and Jimmy Fordham. Gentlemen, it's really great to be able to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Appreciate it.
So I got to tell you, the two words that came to mind, that always come to mind watching you guys, are precision and majesty. It really does look like some kind of Zen thing when you guys are all on rails. What's it like inside your heads when you are performing?
Concentration, you know, just paying attention to where your surroundings at all times, you know, becoming one with the machine and with each other is what's on my mind.
That's Steve Gustafson. Your position in the
left wing. I'm on the left side. They're always rolling into me.
Other thoughts on that?
Well, to Steve's point, you know, it's really just mostly input. We're just kind of watching what's going on and looking for any anomalies and just letting the maneuvers flow at us. Mark calls the maneuvers as we go. I mean, we know where they are, but he sets the timing. So we're just looking for anything unusual, and the reaction to it kind of happens, you know, organically. It's like, really is an extension. It's muscle memory, that kind of thing. And so we react quicker than we can really verbally think. So, and that's kind of what's going on through our minds.
And you're you're Brian Reagan.
Correct.
You fly right?
Right wing, mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, what's kind of the narrative in the mind is kind of like, cool, dang it, cool, cool, dang it.
I never think that. That's not the way I think it, but that's okay. But whatever works for him.
I might choose some more other four-letter words.
I paraphrase.
That's Mark Henley speaking at the end there, who flies lead. Mark, when the team arrives at a venue and you or the team goes up before your first performance, what are the things that you're looking for and what are you doing?
Well, obviously, our biggest deal is for me is, you know, see what the wind's doing. Got to know, you know, is the wind pushing us away from the crowd, toward the crowd, show left, show right, and because I have to adjust the turns and everything to keep the show oriented over show center. And so I usually kind of do a good, you know, look around to make sure that I know where the wind is, know where the obstacles are. Every airport's got something you can hit if you get too low. And so they got towers and, you know, but most of them are usually less than 100 feet. So as long as we keep about a 200-foot hard deck, then we don't worry too much about that kind of stuff. But you got to just pay attention to what your surroundings are.
Do you do that look around by yourself then? Or do you do that as a team?
No, I'm mostly by myself.
And then,
because they don't really care, they don't care what the wind is. They're just gonna follow me. And so now there are a couple of opposing maneuvers, and so they'll look at, you know, Steve and Brian will look at those to try to figure out if they've got to make an adjustment on the pull, because they still have to cross at show center. So whoever the downwind guy is has got to go a little bit earlier, and the guy going into the wind's got to go a little later. So they end up hitting show center. So they're doing the same thing I'm doing, but mine's just in a different way.
And they're doing that in real time during the performance then?
Well, they'll usually know that ahead of time, but then yes, they're making those adjustments in real time.
Steve Gustafson, you are one of the team's founding members, so after 38 years of performing, that makes you what, about 42? Is that right?
61 years old. Been flying air shows since I was 19. I flew my first air show.
So you have flown every routine that this team has flown. How has the show changed over time?
I would say it's gotten better through the experience that we share with each other. Jimmy was able to come on board, and Brian was able to come on board, and I actually helped Mark come on board 24 years ago and gave him tips and pointers. So we learn from each other, and this is a evolution process that this team has gone through, the learning curve basically, to get us to where we are today. And then also we've added to the show with night shows and things. About 70% of their shows now involve a night show. And I'm not being facetious, but a lot of that came from us doing night shows. And people really got a kick out of it because it's cooler and you're not staring into the sun. It's the end of the day. And it's really been amazing. I'm from where we started to where we are here now.
Any surprising challenges that maybe we wouldn't sort of guess, obviously, that are associated with doing a night show?
Not really. At night, usually the air is better. It's softer and a little more calm. So we tend to fly a little bit tighter, I would say. And people notice that. Well, that's because the conditions are right. Like today, I've already noticed, you know, it's a little windy out there, so it's going to be a little bit bumpy. So we spread out accordingly. You know, we fly where we're comfortable is where we fly. You always fly where you're comfortable. You don't push a situation to say, no, I got to be in here. I got to be there. No. You fly where you're comfortable, and that's what we do. So accordingly, we adjust.
Speaking of flying comfortably, Jimmy Fordham, you fly the slot position, and it seems from here like that might be the riskiest place to be because you're always surrounded. Is that the way it works out?
Well, it's. I like to think of it as not so risky, but it's the best view in the house. I get to see the other three airplanes and, see what they're doing, what their movements are, and I don't consider it real risky. It's probably the easiest position to fly on the team. It's probably the most demanding on the aircraft because I'm flying a bigger circle than they are, so I have to fly faster than they do and push the airplane quite a bit harder. But it's just a great view from where I'm at, you know, and as long as I'm fairly close, if I get back too far, the view is not that good, but it all works out. I don't feel like it's risky in there. I see them. I know where their wingtips are when they're bouncing off, and I know where I'm at in relation to them, and we're separated.
If you're just joining us, we're having a conversation with the AeroShell Aerobatic team in AirVenture 2022. Speaking of your aircraft, let's talk about them for a minute. I think I've heard that all of them are military veterans.
Every one of them.
Is that right? Talk a little bit about your airplanes.
Yeah, every one of them. Mine was Army Air Corps. Jimmy's is one's kind of interesting. His was in the Mexican Air Force, and we say when we park it out and it's hot outside, we smell tacos every now and then.
Yeah, mine was manufactured in 1943, and it went to Mexico. You know, they were an ally during World War II. And interesting thing about it, in Abbotsford Air Show back in 2017, I had a guy contact me and wanted to meet me at the air show. And great, we'll meet. And what he wanted to do was show me a picture of my aircraft in Mexican livery, and it was flown by his grandfather and his father later on in life before the airplane came back to America in 89. So it was pretty, a lot of history, you know. It was great seeing somebody that knew the airplane, knew something about it.
Yeah. Are all your aircraft identical, or do you have your technical experts modify them to suit you and the way you touch and the way you handle, the way you fly?
The airplanes for the most part are all, they're box stock. They're stock T6s. The only difference is, now they're not all the same models. Mine's a G model, which was a later production airplane. They took airplanes out of mothballs on World War II and then took them back to the factory and made artillery spotters. Mine actually ended up being sold to the French government, and it was used as an artillery spotter during the French Algerian War. Mine's probably the only one's got bullet holes in it. but other than that, they're, you know, a T6 is, I mean, it's all the same wing and all that stuff, but the internals, the hydraulic systems are a little different, the instrument panels are a little different, but they're functionally, they're all the same.
They would feel the same to each of you. Yeah. So for anybody who cares to answer, what kind of encouragement or advice would you give to pilots who might want to fly aerobatics for their own personal enjoyment?
Well, find a mentor. You know, don't just go out there and try something just because you saw it being done. Ask a lot of questions. I'm always ready to give advice, and we get people with T6s that want to get into stuff and get the right training. But, it can be done. You just have to put in the time and the dedication to get there. We all flew solo aerobatics, obviously, before we started doing formation aerobatics. And my dad used to do formation aerobatics with a guy named Bob Speed, and I always wanted to try it. So one day I found Alan, who I had seen fly solo aerobatics, and I said, hey, I'd like to try this. And he said, well, come on, you can fly my wing. So we went out and we did that. And obviously it wasn't as the way we fly now. It was a lot looser and everything. And so over evolution of time, you progress and get tighter and tighter and fix certain things. But if anybody that wants to get into it, it's just got to have the will and the drive and the want. And don't let anybody tell you can't do it. Just put in the dedication.
That's Steve Gustafson, who's one of the members of the AeroShell aerobatic team. Thanks so much, guys, for spending time with EAA Radio.